Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively getting ready for some football this weekend. Been watching a lot of baseball, wall to wall. And, you know, I guess Toronto, Seattle, sitting around, waiting around. I was not waiting around on Wednesday. I was down at Fadley's at Lexington Market. I have delicious crab cake in my belly. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I gave away a bunch of Raven scratch-offs. We had a couple of winners yesterday down at Lexington Market. On Monday, we will be at Costas in Timonium. I don't know if it's going to be victorious or not, but this is certainly a challenged week, Luke Jones, for the Baltimore Ravens. And I told the Texans guys, all the beat people we've had on, I said, get a scorecard because we have to figure out who's going to be playing. And I think part of the game from the reporter standpoint or from our WNST tech service brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy is who's in, who's out, and at what level are they in? And as we get up on this, Lamar feels very distant. Let's start with that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see. I mean, we're as you and I are talking in real time, there's still practice to go this week. There's still time for him to feel better. However, there's not that much time. And as we talked about in the aftermath of the loss in Kansas City, when you're talking about a hamstring, even if it's a minor hamstring, and I do think it's minor. I don't expect this to be, you know, I don't think this is the Ravens hiding a 2-month injury or anything like that. But
which they would, but yeah, go ahead.
But a hand, well, I mean, we kind of saw how the knee back in 2022 turned into a longer thing than, honestly, I actually think they thought it wasn't going to be what it ended up being. But that said, even a minor hamstring is typically a couple weeks. You look at the timing of where they are in relation to the bye week, even in contrast to where they stand at 1-3 and not wanting to be 1-4, let alone 1-5. You also still have to acknowledge you don't want this to turn into truly a 2-month injury if there's a setback, if there's a re-injury, which a hamstring, you know, anytime you're talking about soft tissue, that is reality. And especially for someone who relies on his legs as part of his game. I mean, even if you're just going to stand back there in the pocket, even if it's a more traditional pocket passer, that's still a challenge because you still have to be able to push off and move and lateral quickness, all the different things you need to be able to do. So
you're vulnerable.
Right. And we're talking about an offensive line that may not have Ronnie Stanley again, has not been playing at a high level as it is. So, and it's for all the flaws of the Houston Texans, they do have a really good front. They do have a good defense, right? I mean, we can talk about how much they have scored or haven't scored so far in 2025, which is why they're also 1-3, but it's not great. It's obviously not ideal, but as we talked about a couple days ago, and I'll talk about it again, I mean, this is the exact scenario why you got Cooper Rush in mid-May, and that's not to say that the offense isn't going to drop off or look different or have to rely on the rest of their skilled talent, need to rely on their offensive line to be better. And that's asking a lot, especially if Ronnie Stanley's not going to be out there on Sunday. And, you know, that's certainly a question right now. But the idea for a veteran backup quarterback to be brought in, and it's not as though they gave Cooper Rush crazy money. Let me be clear about that. But they gave him more money than Josh Johnson was making last year, for example. Let's just use that very simple one-for-one trade-off.
Who has a nice commercial, by the way, Josh Johnson.
He does. But he was making the veteran minimum. Cooper Rush is, you know, I think it was $4 million guaranteed. Now, that was part of a two-year deal. He's not, you know, necessarily banking all that in your mind this year. But the idea is, if Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City and Gardner Minshew's their backup, or Mitch Trubisky in Buffalo, if Josh Allen goes down, I mean, it's all these guys. Jake Browning for Joe Burrow, if it's not a 3-month injury, but it's a 2 or 3 game injury. The idea is you're hoping that guy can play well enough to help you win a game or two. If it's much more than that, we know how this works. And I hear a lot of people talk, you know, I've even seen, you know, media types criticizing, well, this is why the Ravens needed a better backup quarterback. Who are all the great backup quarterbacks out there? There aren't 32 good starters in this league, let alone when we start breaking down the list of backup quarterbacks that you really feel are worth their salt. So it's not ideal. It doesn't make you feel good about going into this game, let alone if Lamar has to miss the Rams game next week when you're talking about a team that's playing at a much higher level overall than Houston. But It's the reality right now. It's the distinct possibility that, yeah, you might not have them on Sunday, and it's possible you might not have them the following week because it's a hamstring. And again, even a minor hamstring is, a week or two usually. So we'll have to see. But at the same time, if you truly have this great roster that so many were lauding and so many were praising going into the season, and so many were picking the Ravens to be, they're the popular Super Bowl pick, even with some of the injuries they have now on the defense, we'll get to that. But on offense, you still have Derrick Henry, you have Justice Hill. As I said, bring Keaton Mitchell out of the garage, right? I mean, maybe, so many fans have been clamoring for that. You still have Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, and DeAndre Hopkins healthy. You have Isaiah Likely back now. You have Mark Andrews.
And you have a backup quarterback that you picked who
Well,
won games. Who's he's
and that's
won
my
games in the
point.
league. Like he's a punchline around here this week. He might go out and play okay on Sunday. This isn't over his head, right?
I mean, he's not. Look, Cooper Rush didn't play at an extremely high level in Dallas, and I don't want to blow this up into something that it wasn't. But they were 9-5 in his 14 starts. Now, how much of that was him playing great? Not too often, but it was talent around him.
And
It
Micah
was,
Parsons.
sure. Certainly, their defense was in a better state than Dallas's defense currently is. But the point is, it does need to be a more collective effort when you're talking about that. As much as, I mean, how many times have you and I talked about, Lamar going into the phone booth and becoming Superman? Cooper Rush can't do that. So yes, you need a more collaborative effort. I mean, it's gut check time. I mean, you're 1-3. You might not have your starting quarterback on Sunday, and there are two
Well, if
ways
you
you
don't
could.
have him this week, you probably wouldn't play him next week to give him the break to come back. So if there's two games this year that Cooper Rush plays, these are the two. Not a good thought at 1-3. No, but
No,
they're
it's
home
not.
games. So you have that. The offense ought to be able to operate at home, you know? So there's some things here about trying to steal these two games, not just one of them, because 2-4 wouldn't be so good 2 weeks from now. But if
It's
Lamar
better than
doesn't play,
1-5. But it's better than, and that's why to me this game is so important, right? We don't know Lamar's status. I mean, we still don't know it for sure on Sunday, and there have been
Yeah,
some
you win
reporting
this
out.
game, you give them off next week, and then and that makes a lot more sense,
I
right?
mean, it just comes down to obviously you can't let your record completely dictate this. I mean, you just can't because there is a lot. And I'll throw out a very recent example. The Rams, they gave the Eagles everything they could handle in the divisional round. Do you remember what they started off at their record was at this time last year?
They
They
were like
started
us, right?
they were 1-4.
Yeah.
I mean, they were 1-4, and they made it to the divisional round, and they gave Philly their toughest game on the way to the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. So it's a reminder that it's not ideal. We all know that. We've talked about that plenty, but it is a reminder that there is a lot of football left, and you do have to keep that in mind when you are trying to evaluate not just Lamar, but all these guys that are banged up right now. It's not that you don't want them out there or that you're just going to completely err on the side of caution and not care about these next two games, but you do have to look at it realistically and say, look, for example, I mean, the NFL Network put out, I think it was Monday, that Roquan Smith has a grade two hamstring. He clearly isn't playing until after the bye week. I mean, a grade two hamstring, he might not be ready until the game or two after the bye, right? I mean, again, it's speculative in nature right
Well,
now,
right now
but
you're trying to get everybody on the field a month from now. First week in November.
and that's where we're talking about, and that's tough because if you're 1-5,
Doesn't
everything
matter.
everything well, it does. It's not that it doesn't matter, but you're in a position where, my goodness, you better hope that everyone's healthy at that point, and you just have to go on a roll and go nuts, and you have to hope that you don't have any more injuries, which just because you're very injured now doesn't mean you won't have any injuries later in the year. So it's just tough.
Well, we
That's
honored
why.
the 75 Colts. They won 9 in a row, so there's
Sure.
possibilities,
Well,
right?
I mean, the Ravens. I
This
mean,
team's capable of winning with as a healthy unit. The thing where we are is Matt Ibike's not coming back.
sure, and
Ronnie
that's the.
Stanley, I mean, the fans are harder on him than I am. You know what I mean?
You know
Like.
what's you know since you brought up Ronnie Stanley, what's interesting? I have not had gotten it confirmed that it's the same ankle, and having watched him on Sunday, I mean, he played two series, so I went back to the all 22. I'm actually not convinced that it's his other ankle that he. I mean, think about it. He has this long injury history. I'm not saying it's a ca catastrophic or degenerative or anything. I'm wondering if he tweaked his ankle a couple weeks ago in the Detroit game and he's just dealing with that. But I watching him, because it was his left ankle that he had multiple surgeries on and everything. Watching it, he didn't have a brace on either, like a noticeable brace on either ankle to identify it that way. But there were a couple times it almost looked like he was favoring the right side a little bit more. So that might be good news in terms of a big picture sense that this isn't like a chronic thing. Again, I don't know. I'm based off of what I saw, and no one's confirmed it for me or said anything because they're trying to not give things away in that nature. But
Oh, and if you ask him the truth, they'd lie to you anyway. So you're not,
I mean, they
there's
might
not
tell
going to
you
be any
after the
reporting.
fact. I mean, they
Yeah.
might tell you after the fact. But my point with that is that might be something that, yes, it's worrisome right now, but if it is the opposite ankle, in a big picture sense, that actually makes me feel better that it's not some degenerative, that his ankle's just like where, as he gets older. I mean, anyone who's had multiple surgeries to a certain part of their body, you wonder about the wear and tear and just like they're just going to wear down, right? Like a pitcher has multiple elbow injuries. Like if they tweak a hamstring, like you're not as worried about the hamstring as you are their elbow, right? I mean, so, in that sense, we'll see, but it's obviously not great that he didn't look great last week when he practiced Friday, didn't look great in the pregame workout, tried to give it a go, and then, had to come out after two series. But with all of this, and to bring it back to Cooper Rush and the Lamar talk, because that's paramount here, obviously, you need everyone to rally. You need everyone to be better. It's way easier. I don't want to say easier because that implies it's easy without Lamar Jackson, but you are more whole on the offensive side of the ball, even with taking Lamar out of the picture, the rest of your players compared to the defense now, where, to your point, Madubuike is out for the year. Broderick Washington is out for the next three games and on IR. Roquan Smith isn't going to play. Marlon Humphrey's not going to play. Kyle Van Noy and Travis Jones are practicing. I think there's a good chance they're going to be back on the field, so that helps. But, where is Nate Wiggins in this? Something to keep an eye on, Nestor. Again, we'll see as the practice week continues. Kyle Hamilton showed up on the injury report Wednesday. He's limited, but a groin issue. Did it happen? Did something happen in practice? Is it something that, he's just a little sore? When someone's listed as limited the first day of the practice week and there was nothing you observed from the game, it doesn't always mean that an injury occurred during practice. Let me be clear, but we do know occasionally that happens. So,
Well, maybe he needs a day off of work too.
well, but if he's not out there, the last practice or two of the week, then you start to say, oh, did he get hurt during practice? Like, when it rains, it pours, right? So, there's a lot going
Because
on.
practice is easy. To be able to go out there and run around on a Thursday, if you can't do that, you can't play.
Well,
Yeah.
I mean, Wednesday practice is typically the hardest practice of the week, and when you show up on Wednesday for that practice, on the injury report is limited, that sometimes does mean that something happened during practice. We'll
Well, they
see.
don't want you exerting yourself on Wednesday.
Well, or he got hurt, right? So we're gonna see. That's certainly on top of all the other defensive players and the woes they're
Yeah, we don't
dealing
need
with,
any new injuries, dude. You know what I mean? We got enough,
especially to
right?
Kyle Hamilton,
I don't
right?
need fresh names
Yeah,
this week, to anybody.
so that's something to keep an eye on, and certainly people want to be on the Baltimore Positive text service, sponsored by Cole Roofing as we get to the end of the week and the injury report and all that. But point is, they're clearly much more banged up on defense collectively than on offense, which, look, they're missing their two most important offensive players. If you want to throw Derrick Henry or Zay Flowers in there, but Lamar and Ronnie Stanley, you could still very much. Lamar is one, and then the argument is who's their second most important offensive player, and you could still argue it's Ronnie Stanley, and he's not out there either right now.
Some would
But
say Derrick Henry because they don't know football, but yeah, right? Literally.
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, you're talking
Well,
about
in
your
the
left.
passing game, Derrick Henry's no factor at all, but that means you have to continue to run the ball. They didn't need a passing game 5 years ago. They just ran it, ran it, ran it.
And let's face it, their path to victory, if Lamar's not out there,
Is
is to
running the
run the
ball.
ball.
Yeah.
And run the ball with Derrick Henry, with Justice Hill, with Keaton Mitchell. I'll even throw this out there. I would not be shocked because John Harbaugh, and some of this is absolutely gamesmanship. When he's been asked about Cooper Rush this week, he's also mentioned Tyler Huntley, who would be elevated from the practice squad to be the backup if Lamar's inactive on Sunday. I would not at all be
Wildcat,
shocked
baby. Let's go.
if
Let's
you would.
run the Derrick Henry Wildcat.
Or more so, go back to 2018 when Joe Flacco was still starting games and Lamar was coming in for 6 or 7 plays a game. I could absolutely see that scenario with Cooper Rush and Tyler Huntley coming in the game.
Hey Joe, go out, catch a pass. What's
Yeah.
wrong with you people? I'm not doing
So,
that.
yeah. So I don't know
What did
what
he call it? He called a JV off. What did he call it?
that was
High school? He called it something that was
that
virgin.
was a few years before. That was when I think they did that with Tyrod Taylor, right? Yeah, anyway. But hey, when you don't have Lamar Jackson, when you don't have your MVP quarterback,
Run the Navy offense.
it
Let's go run the wishbone. Let's
I
go.
mean, you need to go win a rock fight. I mean, that's what it is, right? I mean, it's going to be ugly. If they can find a way to win 13-12, you win 13-12 and you're happy,
I had
right?
McClain on this week. It's going to be a low scoring game, you know? And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be a low scoring game.
It might be, but then again, has he watched the Ravens defense? I mean,
So, but
they've
this
got
is
to
the
be
way you
better.
win the game is Awuzie picks the ball and runs it back or something. I mean, you know, some defensive points, punt the ball well, make 2 field goals for 48, 53 yards, you know, put some points up. Like,
Whatever.
it might be Joe Flacco coming back. It's old school rock 'em sock 'em football here because you don't have the weapons. And defensively, that's the thing that freaks me out is like, I don't even, the front seven wasn't good to begin with.
Oh.
By the way, I had Sean Merriman on the show this week. He a Terp, lights out and all that stuff. And he really shamed the Ravens for not being deep enough in the front seven to begin with. He said they had no depth. They had no pass rush. We were questioning their pass rush a month ago. No Van Noy. Like, they have not had a pass rush. And obviously, a guy that chases the quarterback and Sean Merriman takes umbrage with that. But he said, when you can't rush the quarterback, there's so many other things you're gonna get gashed on. He said, you know, and I played in the league 15 years, so
Sure.
I'll listen. I'll hear him out. But you know, when I start to see football players concerned about with this front seven and knowing how vulnerable that is, and worrying about whether Cooper Rush and Derrick Henry are gonna get the ball back.
Well, yeah, and that's where you kind of look at this game and say, if you're the Ravens, what's your path to victory? It's absolutely, and it needs to be a bigger part of their identity, even when Lamar Jackson's back and healthy, is getting back to building more of a rhythm and not be this high variance offense that, look, I'm not going to sit here and say their offense has been bad. It hasn't been. They've scored a lot of points, but it's been too Jekyll and Hyde, right? We've seen them make these massive, huge, big plays, right? These long, Derrick Henry has popped some long runs, but we've also seen them go through extended periods within games where the offense completely breaks down. It's been way too high variance. And the problem with that is you kind of look at the cumulative impact that that has. One, you're not sustaining drives and converting, you know, whether we're talking about third down, whether we're talking about inside the red zone. We've talked a lot about the goal to go play calling. We've talked a lot about the short yardage play calling. But you think about all those things. Those are all things other than goal to go when, you know, that's when, okay, it's time to score a touchdown. But all those other things are about what? Sustaining the drive, moving the chains, keeping your offense on the field and the opposing offense off the field, which in turn means you're keeping your shoddy defense off the field. Let's call it what it's been. The defense has been bad, and it was trending way in that direction even before all these injuries started to mount. So that impact has absolutely been there. When you look at how the Ravens have played in each of these games, I mean, go look at how many plays their offense has run in comparison to how many plays the opposition is running. And that, you know, that's a byproduct of so many of these issues. But you know, if you can get back to more of the Greg Roman style, where you think about all those, I mean, think about the two drives the Lions had against the Ravens, right? I mean, 295 plus yard drives, which I get it. Montgomery's long run was part of that second long drive they had, but they sustained. I mean, you know, these to have 6 or 7 or 8 minute drives that end in a touchdown. One, it's a touchdown. Two, you've shrunk the opportunity size for the opposition when you do that. And I think that has to be a much bigger part of what they do moving forward, but it certainly needs to be a gigantic part of what they're doing right now with Lamar Jackson's status in question. So can they do that? Well, problem is, for all of Houston's issues, and I'll remind everyone, they're 1-3 also, right? I mean, this isn't a juggernaut coming in here. The Rams coming in next week, that could be a different story if you're still missing Lamar and some of these guys. But this is a Texans team that struggled, but they're good defensively. And that's where you look at this and say, you need to be able to find a way to run the ball and control the clock and be good enough on third down. And if you're Cooper Rush, Play action needs to be a big part of what they're doing. I don't think he's going to throw a whole lot, but he is going to have to throw some. And you have to be able to be fine in all those ways. Your operation needs to be as clean as possible. And this is where hopefully you have more trust in a backup quarterback than, maybe Tyler Huntley being their backup 5 years ago or 4 years ago, where you say, can the operation be clean here? Can we get up to the line and not have a delay a game? I mean, even with Lamar Jackson last week, they had two delay of games in a three play period. I mean, in that first half against Kansas City when it was still a game, you can't have that. So you need to be better in those ways. You need your offensive line to not have penalties. It's funny, Nestor, we haven't talked about it. If there's one thing that this team has been way better about, I mean, there's not a whole lot you can say that about. They've had the penalties, they've cleaned up. I mean, they go into the year, they're second in the league in penalty yardage. Like they have 145 yards of penalties in four games. That's really good. I mean, last year they had games where they had 110 yards of penalties in a game. So that's one area they've cleaned things up, but that
Hasn't
only
helped the
means,
record.
I was going to say, that only means so much when so many other areas are failing for you. So, but that part of it is something that you hope can help weather this storm of if Lamar's going to miss Sunday, if he's going to miss the following week. And that those are the kind of things you need to be perfect at on Sunday. And if we're going to even throw out the following week, I've said it. Hypothetically, if Lamar has to miss these two games, I'm certainly not of the expectation that they're going to win the next two games, obviously. But you got to find a way to win one,
This
right?
would be the easier one to win.
And that's my point, right? I mean, you look at it on paper, this is the much more winnable game, sans Lamar Jackson, than talking about next week, where you have a Rams team that has played well, and their one loss is a game in Philadelphia where they blew a big lead, right? I mean, they kind of pulled a Ravens. So this is the game you got to win, right? I mean, you've got to find a way. I'm not saying anyone should feel fine if they're 2-4 at the bye week, but that feels a heck of a lot better than 1-5, right? And but you've got to go be clean with your operation. You can't make major mistakes. Cooper Rush needs to value the football, take care of the football. They've got to run the ball. Todd Monken has to have a much better game calling plays than he's had the last couple weeks. And they have to go out and execute. Defensively, it's a case of devising a game plan that fits where you are personnel wise. And look, they're not going to transform back into the 2000 Ravens or the 2023 Ravens, to make it a little more modern as far as a comparison. That's not going to happen, especially not overnight, especially when you're this injured. But can you raise the floor? Can you get back to the point where you're getting some stops? You're not giving up 30 plus a game. How about start with, can you hold them to 20 points? Right? That's not an extraordinary expectation right there. But
Well, third
especially,
down and making him kick some field goals would
and that
be really
right.
helpful.
And again, like I said, I
Or if
mean,
they
this
go on
isn't.
fourth down, making a stop and getting the ball back, there's going to be some swing moments in this game. Field position, all of that. To
Sure.
Tyler Loop, let him win a game. I mean, I to your point, rock fight. I like that. Whatever happens, but we're not going to give him style points on Sunday in any way.
Oh, I wouldn't think so. I mean, if there are style points, then maybe it's Derrick Henry if he goes off for 200 or something like that. But they've got to find a way. Like I said, that rock fight analogy, you normally hear that term described in a basketball game that's kind of, more defensive minded and there's not a whole lot of scoring going on. And I mean, they've got to just have to find a way. And that sounds so cliche, but it's where they are. They need a win. They need a win here. I mean, this is as. I hate using the term must win the first Sunday in October. My goodness, it's as close as you can possibly get to must win in early October because of what next week brings and a tougher opponent. And assuming Lamar isn't playing Sunday, how much better are you feeling about his availability next week? And again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he finds a way to get out there. Maybe he's okay much more quickly than we think. But in terms of what we know, and in terms of being realistic, and in terms of having to recognize that after this week, there's still 12 more games and 3 months of season left. And you're in a division where Cincinnati might be the worst team in the league right now, the way they've looked the last two Sundays. Cleveland has a rookie quarterback playing now. And Pittsburgh is give them their props. They're 3-1, but I also don't expect the Steelers to go 14-3 and run away with this division. So the
I don't
opportunities,
know. They might be 8-3 by the time we see them or something.
they're
I
not going to
mean,
be. But I don't think they're that kind of outfit. Now, that doesn't mean they won't be 10-7 or 11-6, right? I mean, I'm not saying they, but I'm still skeptical of a 40-plus-year-old quarterback, and their defense, it's made some big plays at big times, but that hasn't been, it's not on the Ravens level of stink, quite frankly, but their defense has had issues. My point is, there's not a juggernaut in this division right now. And I don't think Pittsburgh is a juggernaut. They're in first place and they deserve first place, but the point is, the opportunity is still going to be there. You have to start winning some games for that to matter, right? You can't let this, if this is 1-5 at the bye, I mean, you're talking about, man, no matter how much the schedule softens up, and it does after the bye, and that's why I'll continue to have a little more optimism than people are that right
by the
now
way,
are just.
Steelers have a tougher schedule. I haven't looked
That's
at
what I'm
their
saying.
schedule.
I mean,
Like,
that's what I'm saying.
so
Like,
let's go. Steelers here. They go. Let's see. They're gonna have Bengals, Browns, Bengals, but then they have Packers, Colts, Chargers. So you know, I mean, they're gonna have three. Then they have the Bills. They have the Bills in Thanksgiving
sure.
weekend. So and then we see them the week after they play the Bills in early December. So we
Yeah,
see
too late
them
to
week
you. Yep.
14. So they would have 12 games played at that point because they have a bye. So you know, are they gonna be 8-4? Are they gonna be 7-5? Or are they gonna be 9-3? It could be something like that. And then it's where the Ravens gonna be. And I'm not
Exactly.
getting too far ahead of my skis
Oh,
because if
no
none of these guys
question.
are coming back, the Ravens are a joke. They're you know, the Ravens are be lucky to go
Well,
seven
and
and
that's where I
ten. If nobody's coming back.
that's where I remind everyone the difference here compared to some of their other, like we think of 2021 with all the injuries, right? We think of 2015 with all the injuries. Go all the way back to 2007, you know, a pre-John Harbaugh era and all the injuries they had that year. 2005, same thing. The difference right now, as banged up to all heck as they are right now, it's not as though all these guys are out for the year. Madubuike is out for the year, right? Ardarius Washington, they lost in May. Maybe he's back Thanksgiving, December. And by the way, we've talked about it in passing. I think that Ardarius Washington injuries end up being bigger than people might have thought just at face value in terms of, oh, well, you drafted Malachi Starks. Now you can just play more corners and all that. I think they've missed that because I think it's made Kyle Hamilton less dynamic, quite
Well, it's
frankly.
also just scrap their plans,
Sure,
right? Like
I mean, they wanted to
what
be
the
free safety.
ideas they had back in February and March and said, we're going to get this, we're going to do this, we're going to draft that. And then on May 1st, we're going to install this. And on September, this, we're going to have that defense. And now it's October and we're out here flying by the seat of our pants.
But I would also say, hey, he got hurt in May. He didn't get hurt September 2nd, right? I mean, there were
He had
veteran
time,
safeties
yeah.
out there. So, and look, maybe they'll still add a veteran safety before it's all said and
Well,
done.
to your point, Lamar's
But
not playing this week. They had a choice to go get a backup quarterback. They went out early and often, and they identified
this
Cooper
is the guy
Rush as
they
the guy they
wanted.
wanted. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to see how it looks. Like, look, if I'm being totally honest, I wasn't impressed by Cooper Rush in the spring and summer. I wasn't impressed by him in the preseason. That said, I wasn't that impressed with him playing in Dallas, even in winning fashion at times. Again, there aren't 32 quality starting quarterbacks in this league. I don't know what you reasonably expect your backup quarterback to look like, let alone how much you want to spend on that in terms of the opportunity that is lost to spend that cap space elsewhere. As I've always cited the Tom Moore talking about Peyton Manning and the Colts and all that as far as how they felt about a backup, the idea that you're kind of, you're completely screwed if you lose your backup or your starting quarterback long term anyway. So how much is too much to spend? How much is not enough to spend? Look, there's plenty of nuance there. It stinks to lose your starting quarterback. I mean, ask the Bengals right now. I mean, by record, they don't look. They're in better shape than the Ravens, but my goodness, you watch them play right now. They might be the worst team in football without Joe Burrow. That's how bad it's looked for them the last 2 weeks. I mean, horrible. But that said, if you miss your quarterback for a couple games, and
You got to have a plan,
you've got
right?
to, especially when you're 1-3.
I didn't love Tyler Huntley, but when he went in there, it was the same offense, and he did give them. He almost beat the Bengals in a playoff game. So, like, I'm not gonna be
Oh,
down on
low
that.
instead of
But
high, yeah.
the whole time, I'm like, now they bring a different kind of quarterback in at this point, hand chosen. I think to myself, they've never really. been in love with their backup quarterback or had a backup quarterback that felt capable. Maybe RG3 for a minute, you thought,
Yeah.
that was a little bit more thinking he could be capable because he had done it at various points.
At the same time, remember how he played in that. And I get it. It was that COVID reschedule. He was awful in that
Oh,
game.
right. That Steelers
Yes.
game, right?
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
he never, correct me if I'm wrong here. I could be wrong on this. I don't think he played in the NFL again after that day. He played himself out of the league that day, I believe. But again,
Meanwhile,
how
Josh
many?
Johnson still got a job.
Yeah, right. Well,
Flacco still has a job.
and what's crazy about Josh Johnson? Go look at his career games played. He's barely played. I mean, he's been with 16 different teams or whatever it is,
But he's played 12 games in the league or something like that.
yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's so little. Now, I would also say Josh Johnson has probably closer to being more of a number three quarterback for a lot of his career than a true backup even. So, but yeah, it speaks to like if you. It's funny. It's kind of like in baseball. You know, if you're a left-handed pitcher and you have a pulse, you'll last in the league a good period of time. I mean, that's kind of backup quarterbacks at this point in time.
Well,
Like
the
if
guy
you.
who's head coach of the Vikings could be still be a backup quarterback in the league if he had gone on that path instead of going to be a coach, right?
Yeah,
He was
I
sort of
mean.
backup to Tom Brady and said, "Yeah, I'm not really going to be a starter. Give me a clipboard. I want to be a coach." And now he's a head coach, making quarterback money for himself. But that's the kind of guy. Or Joe Flacco still doing this because he can. All that being said, would you rather have Joe Flacco this week, Cooper Rush this week, Tyler Huntley? I haven't met the backup quarterback that I'm like, I feel good about this week, So I'm with you on that, but running the ball, are they capable of running the ball? Are they capable of having a short passing game? Are they capable of getting Zay Flowers loose or Bateman loose or something like that, making a couple of plays? I mean, yeah, I don't
They
think they're
should
in,
be.
they shouldn't be incapable this week. Now, stopping the run and getting after the quarterback, different story. And I'm way more concerned about the defense and just sort of how that part of the game could get lopsided and the other team, Houston this week, the Rams next week, without Lamar, or even with Lamar, are going to be able to control the ball and run the field a little bit. Because I'm this defensively, speaking of them, had we done this a month ago, without Matt Ibike, without Roquan Smith, without Marlon Humphrey, we would have said we're going to spend the season without them. Take that $80 million off the books for our salary cap. You'd look at this team and you'd say, it's a 10-win team, maybe. They're going to lose games because their defense isn't good enough, no matter if Lamar gets in the phone booth or not, and he's incapable of doing that right now. So the defense, it's never going to get better, and we're going to talk about this the next 12 weeks in regard to who's playing, how, because they're going to get more guys hurt. I promise you
But
that's going to happen.
they're also going to have guys come back too. I mean, again, Matt Ibike, that's the colossal one, right? But they should have Travis Jones back this week. They should have Kyle Van Noy back this week. So that helps your front. That should help your pass rush. That doesn't mean it makes it whole. Doesn't mean it makes it good, but it should be better. Now, inside linebacker, and I've at times not expressed a whole lot of fondness for how Roquan Smith has played. Going back to last year. But the alternatives, I mean, Trenton Simpson, who's been benched multiple times over the last 2 years, Teddy Buchanan, who has replaced Trenton Simpson, but has not looked very good the
Who's
last
going
couple
to
of
play
weeks.
for Roquan?
I mean, it's going to be those two guys. And I'm guessing, assuming Hamilton is healthy and
So it's
out
going to
there,
get Simpson on the field, is what you're saying,
I mean,
basically.
probably. I mean, now Jake Hummel, who is more of
Ran
a
around
special
last
teams.
week.
I mean, he played some last week. He'll probably be in that mix too. I mean, that's where, and we talked about this. I've written about this. If there was, I talked about the depth on the defensive line, not the starters, but the depth on the defensive line going into the season and going into the draft more specifically, because, they didn't draft a defensive tackle until Peebles in the sixth round, which, as we saw, I mean, he played so little on Sunday. It's because he's more of a situational inside pass rusher at this point in his career, right? He's not a guy that you can trust to play the run. He's small. I mean, he's a tiny guy. He even less so than talking about Buddy Lee, Kelly Gregg, who wasn't the biggest guy but had the wrestling background and the great leverage and all that. Peebles might be able to become something like that eventually, but for right now, I think it's kind of limited when you truly want to put him on the field. But in the meantime, you're relying on practice squad call-ups and Brent Urban, who's well into his 30s at this point in time. I mean, John Jenkins, who's played well for them, he's 36 years old. I mean, this isn't ideal. There's no
You can't
question.
put that guy out there
So
55 snaps,
you,
right?
but that's why you have to get Travis Jones back, and you need Travis Jones to play at a high level, higher level than he did against Detroit, which, he wasn't very good in that game even before he hurt his knee late. They need Van Noy back. They need Van Noy to be, I don't know if he's going to be a 12 sack guy again. I mean, that was a career high last year. Him doing what he
He's
did
not
might.
young either, by the way.
No, he's not. But at the same time, you need him to give you something, even if it's solid play and more leadership that you're needing right now. Just in terms of how everyone's feeling about themselves on defense right now. I mean, as I've said to you, the biggest challenge when you're 1-3, beyond obviously the injuries, is between the ears right now, confidence and someone to tell you that either to kick you in the tail or to tell you it's going to be okay. And some guys need one or the other. Some guys need a combination of both, right? So you need some of that, but not having Roquan, not having Marlon Humphrey, what does that mean in terms of the nickel? Is that Keon Martin, the undrafted rookie who had his moments on Sunday, but also had some plays that he looked like an undrafted rookie? Does that mean moving Kyle Hamilton to the nickel? But is Kyle Hamilton healthy, right? Like I said, that it's just there's a lot going on right now with their defense. I mean, it's obvious the number one issue is Lamar Jackson's status this week. I mean, that headlines the list, obviously, because he's one of the very best football players on the planet. But their defense just is dealing with so much more. And if you're talking about Zach Orr, Chuck Pagano, the entire defensive coaching staff, one, who's going to be out there for you? Two, what can we do game plan wise that's going to be appropriate for, let's face it, some guys that are going to be out there that aren't as experienced as some of these veteran leaders who are making $20 million a year? So do you need to pare down the defensive game plan? But you can't do that too much because you're still facing an NFL opponent, right? I mean, the Texans offense has not been very good. But they still have Nico Collins, right? Who's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, and can take the top off of defense and make big plays and kill you. And that's where you question, okay, is Nate Wiggins going to be able to play? My understanding is his elbow injury isn't, I don't think it's as serious as it looked when he was carted off, but I can't guarantee that means he's going to play on Sunday. I mean, we'll see. If he's practicing the last couple days of the week, then I feel better about where he is. So, but of all we've talked so much about Matt Ibike, Roquan Smith, Marlon Humphrey. Wiggins is, you could make an argument, and Matt Ibike I throw out because he hasn't played since, the first few weeks of the season, or first 2 weeks of the season. Wiggins has maybe been their best player. I mean, believe me, that man, that's a damning with praise kind of comment because
Yeah, who's
without
the
that,
Orioles' best player this
right?
year? That's kind
Exactly.
of,
Exactly.
I don't know, you
But
know.
my point is, I've actually been encouraged by what I've seen from him. Like he's taken the next step forward. I mean, I'm not saying he's played at a Pro Bowl level, but I think he's been exactly what I wanted him to look like going from year one to year two so far. The problem is everyone else being left behind and going backwards. So, but with Nico Collins, that's important to have Nate Wiggins out there, right? And I mean, I'm sure they'll move Collins around. I mean, that doesn't mean they're gonna have Wiggins travel with him, but if
Well, how are
that's
they
the
going to
move.
get beat on Sunday? They're going to get beat by their best players, right?
Sure. So,
Yeah.
but at the same time, you've got to be able to stop the run. I mean, they have Nick Chubb. Woody Marks is their young running back who's starting to come on. In fact, you can almost see a kind of a swing these last couple games where I think he's starting to become, it's become more 1 and 1A. And I think there's a chance he becomes the one and Nick Chubb becomes the 1A because, Woody Marks has looked, I think, has looked a little bit better. I mean, I love Nick Chubb, and he's a guy that was a good soldier in Cleveland for a long time and a heck of a player, but multiple knee injuries, you kind of just ask, where is he at this point in time? And I think the Texans are asking that at this point. So, they've got to stop the run. They can't let CJ Stroud just sit back there and be able to pump the ball and pump fake and let Collins get loose downfield. I mean,
Well,
that
they might get
happens.
Lamar'd a little bit too. He might wind up running around and gashing them, and
He
then they'll
could. I mean,
wind up chasing him a little bit.
yeah. I mean, he's not like a speed demon like Lamar at his best. But he can certainly move around. Like he's not a statue back there. So I mean, this look. I'm trying to lay out a path to victory for this team if it is Cooper Rush, It is there. I mean, Vegas, even, Vegas has Houston as the favorite, assuming Lamar is not out there. You've seen that line move as you would expect it to, but it's not as though they're picking the Texans as a 10-point favorite. I think the line I saw most recently as you and I are talking was like 1.5. That's still, to me, that's still showing. I don't know if that's showing more respect to the Ravens or a lack of respect and a lack of thought of what Houston is. Because again, the Texans are 1-3, right? I mean, this isn't a great team coming to town on Sunday. That the Ravens are dealing. They're going to deal with that next week, most likely, with the Rams. With how they've looked through four games. But this is still a winnable football game, as much as bleak as it feels. With all these injuries, and as bleak as it feels, if number eight's not going to be out there, but man, you need such a better all-around effort than what they got last week, because I mean, they were beaten soundly, and I mean, they just didn't play tough. I mean, it was a very, honestly, I'm going to use the word, because I'm not calling individuals this, but the collective performance from them last Sunday was soft. I mean, it just was. That even goes for the play calling, right? So they need to be tougher. They need to be more physical. They need to be able to run the ball. Their offensive line needs to block better. Todd Monken needs to call it better. On defense, gosh, whoever's out there, my goodness, start tackling better. That's where, like, I'll call out Zach Orr. Sure, I have no problem with that. He needs to be better. And ultimately, he's going to take the fall. For their defense, John Harbaugh is ultimately responsible, but he's under fire. But my goodness, Zach Orr can't go out there and tackle for these guys. They're NFL defensive players. Go tackle. Their tackling's been so poor these last couple of weeks. So, man, that's a lot. There's a lot of ifs I just threw out there. But if they can clean up some of those things and improve those things, then I think they still have a good chance to steal a football game here without your starting quarterback, presumably. But if you're going to go out there and do all those things again, then who knows? Texans might beat you by two or three scores then if you're going to play like that again. So it's gut check time, and you've got to find a way. Any way it looks, 10-9, 7-6, whatever, 31-30, however it looks, you have to find a way to win, because man, if you thought 1-3 was dark, then you're staring down the barrel of 1-5 if you lose this game, and you've got the Rams coming to town, and you're still without Lamar and Roquan and Marlon Humphrey, and staring at all of that. That it feels pretty bad right now. It can get worse. It
No
can
new
get worse.
injuries on Sunday. Can we say that?
Man, yes. I mean, that's the moving forward. That's kind of the Captain Obvious that they need. I mean, and look, they're going to have a few more injuries along the way, but you can't. It's crazy. Go look at what the injury report was 2.5 weeks ago compared to what it looks like now. I mean, they had 14 total guys on the injury report on Wednesday, eight of them not practicing at all, and then six other guys limited. I mean, and one of those is Emory Jones. They finally activated him from NFI. So, he's not on the roster right now. That's a positive that he's practicing on a limited basis right now. But boy, it's a crowded list and some very, very important football players for a team that can't afford to be without them, but they're going to be without some of those guys on Sunday at the very least.
All right, we'll be watching football all day Sunday. Luke will be down at the ballpark. I am around all week. Ness at BaltimorePositive.com always reaches me. Luke is Luke@WNST.net. And also, you can follow Luke on social media. If you're on our WNST tech service, we're going to be getting these injury reports out to you. It's all brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. I want to give a shout out to my partners at GBMC for getting me together. My colonoscopy next month. I'm inching closer to that. I got that circled on the calendar saying, can I cop out of that? Can I sneak out of that? What can I do? But that's going to happen in November. A reminder to everybody to get yourself checked out. Make sure you're safe, guys, out there. I'll be yelling about that the next 6, 8 weeks as well. As we see all the pink coming out here this week on breast cancer, we'll come out and say, get a colonoscopy, because I am. And then my friends at GBMC are helping me push that along. So, and I'm also talking to some doctors around here and trying to have a little bit of fun with some crab cakes. Maryland Lottery presents our Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I was at Fadley's on Wednesday. It was delicious. Luke didn't join me, so I had the cucumber salad. He didn't get to steal any of my big fat French fries, my Western fries I get down there. And I forgot to bring some fish home, so I got to get back down there. We're going to be at Costas on Monday. I'm going to be eating the Crab Imperial and feeling royal. I'm waiting on baseball as well. We've been watching a lot of baseball this week. Luke's still watching baseball. I'm up all night. My wife was all Red Soxed up earlier in the week, so if you're an Oriole fan, I don't know, hate on the Yankees, hate on the Red Sox, pick somebody you don't like. The Royals, oh, they're not in it anymore. So we'll find the bad guys in baseball this week. Meantime, we'll watch football around here and get you ready. I'll see you at 1 o'clock on Sunday. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.